Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 193, recorded on November 21st, 2013. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing dang fine.
Good.
I'm like sitting here pretending as if I'm dancing in my seat.
Maybe you are, and you're not.
Maybe I am.
Yeah. A little chair dance.
As one does.
Is that something else? I think a chair dance might be something else.
No. You're thinking of a lap dance.
Okay. Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm apparently doing a chair dance.
No, I'm not.
That's okay.
I'm just sitting here chilling. It's actually cold and rainy, which is nice and unusual and good.
Yeah, that doesn't usually happen in your neck of the woods, right?
No, we need it, though. It's constant drought here, so anytime we get rain, I'm very happy.
Okay, cool. Well, did you guys pre-order your coin? I know Jeff did.
Right. Yes,
Adam, I didn't.
So, for those who don't know what a coin is, it's this new thing. Is it still a Kickstarter thing, or is it ready to go?
No, it was never a Kickstarter thing.
Okay. It seemed like a Kickstarter thing.
Oh, yeah, they're totally doing it like a Kickstarter thing, but they're doing it themselves.
Oh, okay. So, it's this device that is shaped like a credit card, but it has some electronics in it, and it contains... It allows you to store all of your cards, all of your magnetic swipe cards, into one card.
Up to like six, right?
Eight.
Yeah, there's a limit.
Well, I thought it was unlimited if you have your phone with you.
It's unlimited on your phone, but it can store only eight on the card itself. So then you would use your phone to replace...
Swap them out.
Yeah, swap them out.
So let's say you're crazy and you have more than eight, and you want to use one that's not on there currently, then you have to whip out your phone and shuffle them around and then press a button and then use the coin.
Sync
then?
It, yeah.
Okay. Pretty much, yep.
Gotcha. But so otherwise you don't have to use your phone. You just tap the little button on the card and it shows it on a little e-ink display, probably e-ink, I don't know if they said. And it lets you cycle through the cards that you have on there and hand it to somebody, and supposedly they're not going to question what the heck this thing is.
Why it's like a generic thing. They will at first. There's going to be little bumps like that until people get familiar with the technology. But it's sort of like, think how fast like Square became a thing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I see people using Square registers and Square things all over the place at, restaurants and bars and carts and, you name it, craft fairs. And I think people were a little leery of that technology at first, too. But now everybody's like, okay, whatever. It's a Square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be the same with this. It'll be like, oh, okay. It's just your all cards thing.
Well, the benefit of this that Square had, though, was that they were given their devices out for free. And this thing is $50 with a 50% discount.
Yeah, but that's still, the convenience of that, if it takes off, is... I think well worth $50. And aren't they doing a referral thing too?
Yes. And yeah. So like if I give people my referral code, everyone that uses the code, it gets me a $5 discount off of my purchase.
Oh.
up to 10 referrals.
Oh, that's cool.
Right.
And it's free. So
it's $5 because it's $50 plus $5 for shipping.
Oh, $5 for shipping. Okay.
Yeah. So you pay $5. So once I've hit my 10 referrals, then all $50 will get returned to my credit card. And then next summer, it'll show up in the mail.
So what's the advantage to someone using the referral code?
Well, the person at the end of the chain is screwed.
Right, yeah.
So, okay, so
big giant pyramid scheme.
You
got to pay full boat if you're at the end.
Right. So the way it works is if someone uses my code and then they turn around and start giving other people their code. It's like it is exactly like a pyramid scheme in that sense. So if you're in early enough, then you'll be able to get enough people to sign up so that you get the full $50 discount. And like as of right now, I haven't checked my email since we started the show, and I've had 5 referrals.
Wow.
So yeah, so mine is at this point half price.
Huh.
And
it's already half price because actually when this thing launches, isn't it going to be $100?
Right, it'll be $100. So as of this moment, as far as I know, mine is costing me $25.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to have a We Have Communicators pyramid scheme happening with Coin next week or something.
Sure. Well, yeah.
I guess we could do it through
Twitter. I
hem and
hawed about ordering one because I didn't want to spend the $50.
So did I. And it wasn't until after Brian and I talked about it at length on Apple Context Machine yesterday that I decided I was just going to go ahead and do it. So overnight, I've already had 5 referrals.
You know, I wonder if this thing will work with magnetic cards that when I use the public transportation in Chicago, they have magnetic cards, but they're thinner. They're paper-based cards that you dip right in. So it takes it into the bowels of the machine and then puts it back out.
Oh yeah,
I don't think it'll
not
work. I don't think Coin is flexible enough for that. It is a little bit flexible, but those cards, as far as I know, they're actually making a serious bend before they pop out to the other end.
Oh no, it's not even like that. It's one where you put it in and it slips down, but then it comes back up through the same slot.
Oh,
so yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't go and experiment with a coin unless you got one for free and you wanted to play with it.
Well, I mean, that does bring up an interesting thing. I mean, how compatible is this stuff? Like, will it go into the ATM machine just fine?
I think
they're saying yes.
I would imagine it would.
Yeah, they're saying that it's the same dimensions as a credit card. It'll fit into ATMs. Anything that you can currently put a credit card into, it's supposed to fit.
That makes sense.
Because it'd be an expensive thing to lose if it got jammed up in a
and there's a there's like a 2-year battery life on it, right? You have to buy it after 2 years. You have to buy another one.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm fine with that because we don't have the technology where you can make something that thin and have a replaceable battery.
Does it have to be near your phone to sort of unlock it?
It
or
has
activate it?
No, but it has a security feature where you can set how long it can be out of range of your iPhone before it locks itself.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah, so what I'm figuring is I can set the code for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
Right.
Or the time frame. So that if I'm sitting at a restaurant and I hand the card to my server and they go to run the card, they have a few minutes to go run the card before it will lock out.
Right, yeah. But I think there is an extra time limit involved where it just completely shuts down if you're away from your phone after 48 hours or something like that.
Yeah, then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Cool. Really so in also, the future.
Yeah.
I feel like they do having all my cards in there. So if I should lose my wallet or someone steals it, since my credit cards aren't actually in there, I haven't lost my credit cards. I don't have to call my bank and have all my cards reissued. I just need to go back to my place and open up the lockbox that has all my cards in it and pull them out.
Yeah, but they have your coin.
Doesn't matter because it's locked out. They can't use it.
Oh, so you can lock it out?
Yeah. Well, yeah. With that timer that'll be in there. If they get my wallet, they don't have my iPhone. So after a few minutes, the card will just lock and they can't use it.
Okay. Cool. Well, I haven't ordered mine yet, but I'm considering it.
Well, use my code so that I can get my discount.
Yeah, maybe I should. How about if I do that, then once you get to your point where you've used all your slots, then you toot my code then?
That's fair. I will do that.
Okay. Cool. Sounds good. So moving on, I Work for iOS and Mac has been updated. And so there's customized toolbars in OS 10 versions. There are some guides and stability improvements, yada yada, stuff that doesn't seem like that big a deal. And this is where you guys potentially tell me why it is a big deal. Or is it not? Is customizable toolbars, is that a big thing that people were wanting? Because it didn't seem like that was the big thing that Apple was missing in these updates.
It was actually a big thing.
Oh, it was? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because the small set of features that Apple included in the toolbar for many people were not the features they actually used.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So, yeah, this is a very welcome change. The lack of customization for the toolbar is something that I dinged Apple on in my review.
Gotcha. Were there other things, or are there other things that you're looking forward to, as Apple has now said that they're planning to improve their offerings in iWork?
Yes, I actually want to see more features coming back that were taken out, because as of now, really, Pages is an application that's okay for very casual use, assuming that you're someone that was using Pages before.
Now, what sort of things are you looking forward to getting back?
How about like mail merge?
Now, okay, so that was discussed on the last Mac Geek Gab I was on, and I don't even know what that is.
That's the ability to go through your, say, like a group, a contact group or something like that, and merge data dynamically. So if you were doing, like, say, your holiday Christmas cards, and you wanted to put everybody's name and address in there, that sort of thing.
Right. So you could have your database with everyone's name and address, plus some other little bit of information that can be dropped into a form letter that makes it appear as if the letter was customized just for that person.
Ah, okay.
And then you let it run, and it spits out the letter that's unique for each person. And then you can have it do your mailing labels. And it's an automated process, so you don't have to sit there and go in and make a new letter every time you want to change the name.
That's pretty cool. And of course, the new Pages doesn't have it. And I would like to point out the fact, and of course, this isn't a Mac show, I know that, but iWork and iOS have, or iWork and iLife have ties to iOS. And actually, I think it's interesting that Dave Hamilton on the Mac Geek Gab a couple weeks ago made the assertion that essentially Apple ported the iOS versions to the Mac. And that's why we kind of have the lackluster feature set that we do in the new versions. So I forget where I was going with that, but I didn't realize that stuff existed in Pages. Oh, what I was going to say is that you can't open files. You can't set in Finder, say, I want to open all Pages documents in old Pages. And if you go and do that, it reverts it right back. So you can't set it to be the
default. Which is really crappy, because if they did that, they had to actually code the operating system to not allow that to happen for that specific app.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's extremely aggravating. I nuked new Pages from my machine because I couldn't get my documents to open in old Pages by default, so I just had to destroy it.
Yeah. See, this doesn't impact me too much. I did a big, actually, the last member show was just on this topic for me, what the difference is and does it matter and why is everybody so upset and stuff like that. And, you know, for power users, this was a huge, huge blow. And I wish I could say it was something Apple hasn't done a million times before now. But, I mean, this is par for the course where to go forward, they see the only path is to move, you know, take a big jump back and sort of start over. At the meantime, they screw everybody over. And I think the most egregious part of it in my mind is not that they do it. It's that when they present it in the keynote, it's like, oh, these are the awesome new versions of iWork we've been working on. And aren't they great? And look at all these awesome features. And they don't warn anybody or tell anybody, hey, oh, by the way, these are completely rebuilt from the ground up and it's going to mess up all your old documents. So if you rely on the old versions, you know, stick with those. They'll still be there. If they had just said something like that, they could have mitigated so much of the backlash that they got.
Oh, absolutely. It would have been really great. And yeah.
That's not something that Apple's in the habit of doing, though. But at the same time,
they've never done it. They've never done it. But it's stupid that they don't, because now they've done this. This is at least the third major application that's gone through this thing where people have been pissed. It started with iMovie 08.
Went to Final Cut.
And then went to Final Cut. And now they've done it again with iWork. And I don't know. Maybe they just don't care. But I mean, it seems like they could really just diffuse the bomb very easily by just making one little statement. Hey, here's the vision for the future. Basically what they put in the Tech Info article after the fact that said, oh, by the way, these features are coming back and this is why we did it.
Yeah, that would have been great, because what we ended up with instead was opening up documents that had, say, linked text boxes and it broke. Or okay, maybe if you had a graphic in the header or footer of a document, and a lot of people do that, it broke. You suddenly can't manage your pages from the thumbnail views anymore. The thumbnail view is worthless right now. They might as well have just not even included it, because there's really nothing you can do with it.
It doesn't do, yeah. All it does is show you the thumbnails of what's in your document.
Yeah.
You can scroll through. I got most frustrated by the fact that they've made it really difficult to figure out whether you're in page layout document or a standard word processing document.
Oh yeah, that's almost impossible to know.
The templates aren't broken up anymore. And it took me forever to figure out what was going on, because somebody was like, I can't get it to do this. And he wanted to work with a page layout document. And I think what was going on was, he's like, every time I paste an image, it's going in line. I don't understand what's going on. Well, there's a checkbox. I think it's called document. What they call it? Oh, body document. In the setup, there's a little checkbox and it says body document. If that's checked on, that means that that file that you're working on is a word processing document. Document body means that you have one giant text box, basically, that flows at the body level that you can't change from page to page to page.
Then why don't they call it word processor mode as opposed to page layout mode?
I don't know. But you uncheck that, and the bummer, too, is if you've already started a document, you've got all your text and images and stuff in line, if you uncheck that box, it'll warn you, hey, it's going to delete all of your inline stuff and your text and convert it. And at that point, it's converted to more of a page layout document, and so you put everything in text boxes and you place everything where you want, like you would in page layout mode. But it's just really not clear, you know, when you're in one or the other. And also when you pick a template, you don't know. There's no indication anymore which templates are word processing templates and which ones are page layout templates, which is bizarre to me. That was the most bizarre thing. And I'm a light user of Pages, so this really doesn't affect me. I'd prefer to have the new versions that seamlessly integrate between my iOS devices and my Mac. So I'm perfectly fine with the new versions, because I don't do a lot of this heavy stuff, but I completely understand all these people that relied on a lot of these features, why this is a huge deal for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a big problem. But for Apple, it's not a big enough problem that they even need to worry about it, because the target audience, I think, for these apps are people that haven't used them before, and people like you, Adam, that the features that are still there, those are the features you're using anyhow.
Right. Yeah, I don't use Mail Merge. I very rarely did the whole page layout, text to multiple boxes thing. That I have done but you know, the fact that it's not there doesn't kill me. And that's one of the ones that's supposedly coming back. So they obviously know they need to manage that.
Yeah.
The thumbnail thing is annoying, but it's not a deal breaker. You know, I can learn a different workflow. I'm just not in those applications that frequently enough to worry about it. And like I said, I'm going to enjoy more going from one to the other. What I am actually most upset about is how much emphasis they put on the real-time collaboration stuff, and that sucks.
Does it?
Ugh.
Because they recently updated it.
Unless you're doing it on the web, if everybody is working in Pages and iCloud, it's actually pretty cool.
Okay.
But if you want to work between the desktop and Pages and iCloud, or you cannot have two people editing in Pages and collaborating, just FYI.
Even in the cloud? Even in iCloud or just within
the apps?
No.
Like, so if
in
I
the native
you
apps.
The, so, yeah. So if I'm in the native app and I turn on the sharing for my document and I send you the link and you click the link in your email, it will take you into Safari or whatever your preferred browser is and put you in there. You have no way to open that document and collaborate with me in your copy of Pages.
So you can't even open it in your Pages? I guess that makes sense. Yeah, because there's no shared tab or section within
stupid.
The app.
That's stupid. But
it is
secondarily,
stupid,
but if I'm working on it on my desktop and you're in the cloud, there is no real time at all. It is not real time collaboration. If I'm working in the desktop, my desktop version that I just shared with you, and you're in iCloud, what happens is if I make a change, you'll get like a pop-up alert in the web interface saying I made a change, and then it'll refresh on you. Like it has to do a full browser refresh.
Wow.
And vice versa. I didn't know that.
If you make a change on your end on the web end and I'm in my desktop version, it doesn't even warn you, I don't think. It just sort of like resets and puts you back at the top level. Don't do it. If you want to collaborate, use iCloud and both be in a browser, because you don't get cursor indicators. You can't see who's in there. The other thing in the collaboration features is there's no way to make notes or annotations. So I can't, you know, like put a note, hey, I'm changing this thing here. Like none of that stuff is in there right now.
Wow.
So of course it's beta, so we can give them that, but
yeah, well, that's the interesting thing is Apple has gotten into the business of releasing beta software, just like Google. Releasing like half-baked crappy beta software. Is Siri still beta? Siri's not still beta, is it?
That's a good question, but I don't think so.
They've never said. I wouldn't call it beta. I use Siri all the time and I'm very, very happy with it. I know a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, it's not too bad, except for the fact that every once in a while, as we've discussed, she just says, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
I think that's a server thing. That I don't know why, where that went wrong, but yeah. I'm getting less of that, though, to be honest. I've had that happen to me less and less.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not a big issue for me. It happens just often enough that I'm surprised when it does.
And you talk nice to Siri, too.
I do. I always talk nice to Siri. And I say please and thank you.
Yeah, me too. Have you guys found that she is inserting her personality into just like standard responses and stuff now?
In
I've
what
had a
way?
Couple scenarios, and I need to remember some of the hard examples, but where I've had, you know, like schedule a meeting or, you know, can you tell me about something? And she will like add a little like extra. Like, she doesn't just return the information. There's like, she puts in her own little personality into the response, which is just funny to me.
Yeah, it's not very often, but occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me chuckle. I like it. It's great, but it's just like, oh, Siri's giving me some attitude right now.
That's fun.
Yeah, Siri's pretty cool. I know a lot of people have trouble with Siri, but I'm nice to her. She's nice to me. Usually works out really well. Mm-hmm. Although, every time that I try to have Siri call the Volvo mechanic that I use, she calls Barry Folk. every single time.
Yeah, actually, she has issues with my mechanic too, because my mechanic's place is called Auto House, and I have the little umlaut over the U because I refuse to have it in there the wrong way. And actually, I've experimented with it for a little while, and I think that what I ultimately did was, if I spell it out without the special character in it, I'll say call Auto House, and she will say, "I'm sorry, I don't have anyone in your address book by the name of Auto House. Did you mean Auto House?"
Yeah, don't you love
with,
that
with the umlaut?
That's awesome.
So she doesn't get it ever.
But then you just say yes, right?
Yeah, but it's irritating. I think I just put the mechanic's name in there, and I just tell her to call him now. So,
well, you can put a nickname.
Yeah, well, you know what I did? For the nickname, I spelled it out phonetically, and that didn't help either.
Well, no, but I mean, why don't you just put my mechanic as the nickname?
I guess. Okay. Anyway, moving on. In the App Store, they've, for many years, had editor's picks. But today, I guess, something interesting has happened. They added in a video trailer for a game, and that game is Clumsy Ninja, but that's not as important as the fact that they've added a video clip into the App Store, which is something they've never done before.
No, you know what's as important? Clumsy Ninja is out. What the heck?
Who cares about Clumsy Ninja?
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay. Should I care about Clumsy Ninja?
If that, do you remember cares, this, you should care.
This was Clumsy Ninja was like the big app that they like featured at one of the WWDC keynote conferences.
Oh yeah, I usually fall asleep when they do that.
For the iPhone 4 or the iPhone 4S. I don't remember which one it was.
It wasn't the 4S. It was probably the 5 or the 5S.
I don't remember, but the point was is that the thing never came out.
Oh.
They're like, and it's coming out this summer, and then it never came out. So when did it come out?
iPhone 5 keynote in 2012.
So apparently it just came out, I guess. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, so it was highlighted at the media event September 2012, and it just came out.
Isn't that the way those demos go, though? It's kind of a curse to have your
no,
stuff
the,
demoed.
No, the Anki Drive is out.
Is it?
Oh, what? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Have you played with it?
It's the sexiest box at the Apple Store.
But you didn't. Did you get it?
No, I so want it, though. I can't justify spending $200 on toy cars that go around a track.
Sure you can.
I get other people to buy that stuff for me.
There you go.
Gifts.
There you go.
I just put it on my gift lists, and hopefully some family member buys it for me.
Yeah, don't explain what it is, though, because they'll scoff and say no. $200 for toy cars? No.
I did buy my Sphero, and that was $120, right?
So. Yeah, well, that thing's pretty cool, too. Do you still use it? Do you ever use it?
I do. Now I'm jealous because I want the new 2.0, though. That's more powerful. It's faster.
Okay, well, get the 2.0 and send me your old one.
I upgrade mine. I could do that for Christmas. I'll send you the old one.
So, but yeah, I think it's interesting that they've added video in with an app. And I guess this is only in the UK store, UK app store. And you can find Clumsy Ninja in the US store right now. Right. You just have to search for it. It's not on the featured page. So I think it would help a lot. Developers have always wanted the ability to add videos or at least links to videos in their app descriptions. I remember early on, many app developers would actually paste in the URL for a YouTube video, even though you couldn't highlight the text or click it to actually see the video. I think that'll help out if Apple is indeed planning to expand that in the future. So I think that's pretty cool. Let's see. Oh, speaking of pretty cool, Moga, one of the guys, one of the companies working on those iOS controllers, they released their, I guess it's the first game controller that has been released for iOS 7. It's the Moga Ace Power Controller. It's $100 and it works with iPhones and iPod Touches or iPods Touch. And you just spread the thing open and plunk your iPhone down into it and lock it closed. And you have a an awesome game controller that you can use on whatever games have taken advantage of the controller APIs in iOS 7.
That's cool.
It is cool. I really want to get my hands on one of these and try it out because that was honestly...
Is this different than the Logitech one? I thought the Logitech one's out now too. The PowerShell.
That's very possible. Logitech PowerShell.
Because we just talked about this on Cult of Mac. Buy it on the Apple Store, Best Buy.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's very similar to that. It's the same idea. Although I think it looks like the Moga has more buttons.
So now what's enabling this, though, correct me if I'm wrong, is that Apple has standardized the APIs and the programming for these kinds of controllers, right? So if a game has been written to take advantage of the external game controller stuff that Apple has in iOS 7, then it should work with any of these hardware devices, right? It's not the kind of thing where they have to, like, if I'm using a Logitech game controller, the game I'm buying has to support Logitech's APIs versus some other APIs, right?
Yeah, it's a generalized API that Apple developed, and that's what these companies built.
I misunderstood.
Yeah, so it's something that is universally accepted. And a lot of games have been putting the support for the APIs in their games.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, and it looks like the Logitech one doesn't look like it is expandable. So if you have a 4S or something, I guess it wouldn't fit. It doesn't look like you can snugly fit it onto your device. I'm not sure how you get it in there exactly.
No, yeah, it says this. It is the 5S, the 5, and the 5th generation iPod Touch.
Gotcha. Although it does look a little
But this
slicker.
One is a battery. It does have a 1,500 milliamp hour battery.
The Logitech?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Moga also has a battery.
Cool.
So they both look cool. I want to play with one. So the Retina iPad Mini.
Wait. Well, one more thing on this. So, here's the thing about this that I thought was a little bit strange. So these controllers are coming out for like iPhones and iPod Touches.
Yep.
But for me, I mean, especially like these kinds of games where it's first person shooter and these higher end, these more like console style games where I think having a controller would be of more benefit. It seems like you'd want a bigger screen. So it's interesting to me. I'm curious to see how many gamers are really excited about you have this, but now you're locked in, you know, a small screen. Well, it's almost like a PlayStation Portable or something like that.
Yeah, it is like that.
Yeah, and I was wondering if people that have like kids with an iPod Touch would be more excited about this because then they could put this case around the iPod Touch, and the kids have. Traditional controls for the games.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing I did say on Cult of Mac that I think this opens up that could be really cool would be second screen experience games.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. Yes, that would be cool.
So where you basically use AirPlay to go to your TV with like an Apple TV, and then the controller has secondary controls and the game controls on it. Which you could do all kinds of creative and cool stuff with, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, that actually brings up an interesting point that it was KGI Securities analyst Ming-Chi Kuo. He says that he expects an A7 version of the Apple TV next year, which initially I'm thinking, why? It's an Apple TV. What does it have, the A4 in it? I think it's an A4. Yeah. And of course you could just throw the
games.
You could throw the A5 in there, but of course, yeah, you could put games on that thing. So if they're going to start allowing
serious games,
yeah, yeah. So if they're going to start allowing developers to put games or apps or what have you onto the Apple TV, it does make sense to have an A7 processor in there. And I love the idea of using the iPhone and the iPod Touch as a controller for those games on the TV.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I think Apple. The writing's been on the wall for a long time, mm-hmm. that, you know, Apple can very easily turn the Apple TV into a very appealing gaming console.
And I mean, yes, they can, yeah. Which is actually cool.
Yeah, they have all the pieces in place. They just need to let it be assembled together. I mean, they just need to, it's all software pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, so in addition to that one, he says that the Apple television isn't expected until 2015 or later, or never.
You're talking about an actual TV set.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I would say never.
I think we're going to stop talking about that one.
I'm okay with that.
For a while. Like, let's say until Apple announces it, we'll stop talking about it.
I'm okay with that.
I still think, you know, and people think I'm crazy. If it ever happens... I still think that Apple OEMs the internals of the, you know, Apple TV basically builds a board that they would sell or partner with manufacturers who actually make the televisions. So it'd just be like a television from Samsung or a television from, you know, Vizio or whoever with Apple TV technology built into it.
Possibly, but Apple's not really in the...
They've never really done that before. I know it's it'd be a very unusual move for Apple, but I think it, for this kind of product, it would be the way that they get the most exposure. And really, because think about what they would want to do with that. It's still a play to, especially if they open up games and apps and stuff like that, it's still a play to sell apps onto another device. It's still a play to sell more iPod touches and iPhones to be used as controllers and second screens and stuff like that. It's still a play to sell more movies on iTunes and more TV shows. So there's a big financial incentive, I think, for Apple doing it. And I really just don't think that Apple wants to get in the television making business. So
it's easy to argue Apple has already done that with the whole OEM TV thing. It's called Apple TV.
True. Yeah.
I'm still thinking that instead of making their own television, Apple is going to eventually expand the Apple TV product line, and it'll just be buy our box, use it with whatever TV you have.
Yeah.
That seems to make the most sense.
Well, it fixes the problem that Apple will have to deal with right away. Well, a couple of problems. First, where do you put all those TVs? And then second, what do you do about the upgrade cycle that people have for televisions? The average time frame for new television purchases is 7 years. That's not a good business model for a product like this. Well, yeah, from Apple's perspective.
Very true.
But if you can get people buying a new Apple TV every year or two, well, there you go.
Do you think they could get the Apple TV down small enough to where it becomes something almost like a Chromecast?
Sure.
So then you just, I mean, it's pretty much just like docking it into your TV.
Well, they could also come up with a dock spec for the Apple TV so that TV makers could build a television that on the backside, maybe there's a little slot.
Right. So that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and you just plug the like an Apple TV like we have today into that instead of plugging it into a power cord and plugging an HDMI cable in.
Yeah, but the thing you're not remembering is the fact that the Chromecast has to have a power brick.
Sure, but if Apple does this the way I would imagine they would do it, when you plug in the Apple TV box into the slot on the back of a television, there's also a power connector built into that. So you don't need a separate power cord. That's That's the kind of elegant thing Apple would do.
Sure. But again, I don't think they're going to do something like that. I think it just, it makes too much sense for them to continue going on the way they are going. And maybe that's, that was sort of the experiment of the Apple TV. Maybe they thought, well, here's the easiest thing we can do. And they released it as it is today, essentially. And as they went on with more and more research, they just kind of concluded that this makes the most sense. And it kind of does make great sense. Now, the only thing that I really complain about is the fact that the stinking thing doesn't work with my remote. You guys have that problem where the remote just, you have to be pointing it just so directly at the Apple TV that it's just insane to make it work.
Are you talking about the little silver remote?
Yeah.
I threw that thing away. That thing's a piece of crap. It's not working.
I don't have junk. That problem. However, well, I do keep the silver remote handy because sometimes I just, I went to do something very quickly where my iPhone is sitting on my desk or something.
Yeah.
But for everything else, I'm using my iPhone and my iPad to control the Apple TV.
Well, yeah, I do too for the most part. But do you have a Gen 2 or a Gen 3 Apple TV?
Generation 2 for me.
Oh, I don't remember now. I think I have the Generation 2. I'll have to check.
Because I've played with the Generation 3 recently, and I think that maybe those don't have that same problem.
I don't know. Did you pair the remote with your TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the one that gets a lot of people is if you don't pair it up and you have another Mac that has an infrared port anywhere near that Apple TV, sometimes that will react rather than the Apple TV, and then you don't even realize it.
Yeah, that is a funny problem to have. When you have people come over and you're like doing your Apple TV, and suddenly they're like, "Man, my computer is doing the funniest things. I just got this Mac, and I don't know why it's always doing these funny things." And then you realize
I always go into the security settings on my laptop and disable the IR port because I never use it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know you can do that.
Yep. That's important. Yeah. Okay, so the Retina iPad Mini is out. People have bought them. Jeff called fakety fake 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 the night before.
Awesome. I sure did, and I was wrong.
You're usually right about that, though.
This time I was way wrong.
It was pretty strange, though. It's not the traditional way that it's done where... You know.
So whole new Apple. They're not doing anything.
Yeah, they're doing the same. They're doing whatever they want. So, did either of you get Retina iPad Minis?
Nope. And I'm not going to. And which is funny for me to say because I fully thought that I would. But I've sort of made my decision that the iPad Air is the perfect iPad for me right now.
Yeah.
So. It's the perfect balance. I did go look at them in the Apple retail store. And what's cool about the Apple retail store, at least mine, I'm assuming they're all like this, is because they're still selling the original iPad mini,
mm-hmm.
they have them right next to each other on the table.
So you can compare.
Yeah, I could literally took one and another one and put them side by side and sort of browsed through them. And... while the Retina's really nice, you really have to get super close, at least I did, to sort of tell the difference. When I was fully, you know, standing upright and just had them laying flat on the table, I mean, you can tell. I'm not going to say you can't tell, but how much of a difference it makes really, in my mind, wasn't enough to be like, oh, this is like way, way better. At least at that size. So I don't know if it's because the pixel size or what have you, but the screen wasn't compelling enough. I think it really comes down to what's awesome about the Mini and the Air right now is they're exactly the same except for the form factor, you know, the physical size of the device. You've got the same processor, the same cameras, the same. So you don't have to make any of those compromises or decisions. All you have to decide is, which one is going to be the one that is going to be most useful for me in terms of form factor, in terms of how much screen, you know, size there is, how big text and stuff is, how portable it is. I really want the most portable thing. Then you're going to be the Mini. If you are like me and you use it not just for content consumption, but for content creation, I just find that the iPad Mini for typing on, I don't like typing on it. It's just a little bit too small. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
What I decided after getting the Air, and even before the new Mini came out, was I probably don't need the new Mini because holy crap, I have the iPad Air and I have a Mini as well.
Mm-hmm.
And after getting the Air, I notice the way I use my Mini has changed. It really has become more of a casual consumption device than it was before.
Yeah, and I'm not using my Mini at all. I've spent, since I got the Air, I forced myself to only use the Air, and I haven't missed the Mini. There hasn't been one scenario where I went, oh, I wish I had my iPad Mini right now. So that's how I knew that the iPad Air was going to work for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I've been considering the Mini a little bit. Now, I do have the Air. I don't think I haven't checked out the new Mini, but I've certainly considered the idea of possibly returning the Air and getting the Mini, but I don't know. I've been pretty happy with the Air. The only thing I don't like about it is the fact that it's a little bit, still a little bit too heavy to comfortably read for an extended period of time with one hand.
Yes. That's where my Mini comes back in.
That is true.
In many ways, my Mini is becoming an ebook reader.
Yeah.
There's a lot cheaper ebook reader options, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. But if I've already bought all my content through
yes,
iTunes Store.
Right. But again, for those people who are like, should I upgrade my Mini? You know, I don't know if that's enough.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
Do you think the readability on... Because again, I was looking at those screens, and it just didn't seem like to me at the normal distance where I would hold my iPad Mini, and maybe it's because I have older eyes, I don't have perfect eyesight. So you know, take that into effect as I say this, but or into account as I say this, but it didn't. I wasn't that impressed. I wasn't like, oh wow, this, you know, it didn't feel the same way I felt like when I went from my non-Retina full size iPad to a Retina iPad.
I still have not seen a Retina Mini. They've been pretty scarce in Colorado. I do need to make a run over to the Apple Store. Actually, probably as soon as we're done podcasting. So maybe I'll finally get to see one tonight.
The one cool thing that I did notice immediately is, and I knew Apple did this, but it became really obvious when I was looking at it, that you know they optimize Retina icons versus non-Retina icons for their apps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just cool to see because you look at the reminders icon and it's actually different on the Retina screen versus the non-Retina screen. It's like a completely different icon.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense though. It's pretty cool. You mentioned that they essentially have the same parts inside, and I would say for argument's sake, they do have the exact same internals, which is awesome. And that's why I would even consider the thing, except for a 0.1 gigahertz difference
in the clock speed of the, which is weird.
It is a little bit weird that they would do it at all.
Yeah.
So it's 1.3 gigahertz in the Mini and 1.4 in the Air.
Yeah. It's not going to be noticeable to anyone.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with that.
My assumption is they did that because it gives them better battery life.
Probably.
In some way. Yeah.
I would imagine that's why, because they don't advertise them as, they don't try to differentiate them in any way. They just call them the A7 processors. So.
Well, they don't tell anyone what speed they're running at anyhow, ever.
Yeah. So, and I imagine they're, ever since they brought out the second color with the iPad 2, I think they've been really struggling to mitigate the fact that there are so many different models or variations of the iPad now. You know, with the cellular and the different sizes and the colors.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So... And I think it's great, especially with the fact that they still offer the original Mini, and that would be perfect for a lot of people too, people who don't really care so much. And of course, the pixel density on the Mini, it's still 1024 by 768, so it's much denser than like an iPad 2. So that's why there's not much, as much of a difference with the Retina as there was with the bigger iPad. So what else do we have here? Apple released iOS 7.0.4 with bug fixes for FaceTime calls that I wasn't aware that anyone was having. And most people didn't really realize that there were issues with the FaceTime calls. But I guess there were.
Apparently there were.
Did you guys notice anything like that?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So that's out there. And I guess that for people who are waiting out for the jailbreak and you're on iOS 7 already, it is safe to update to that. But I believe it was Muscle Nerd who said to resist your urge to update as practice. So I'm not sure if that, I don't think that means that it won't work. I think he just is saying, come on guys, don't worry about it.
It's how you stretch your Kegel muscles.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to do Kegels with your iOS 7 upgrade Kegel. So we have some more stuff to talk about, but before we get into all of that, we have to talk about our wonderful sponsor, Connected Data. As you may have heard in the past, they have the Transporter product, which is a little device that carries a nice laptop hard drive inside of it that you hook up to your home network, and it allows you to throw whatever files onto it that you want, and that lets you see those files on your computers while you're at your home network, but it also lets you access all of those files when you're outside of your network. So it does magical networking where you don't have to set up firewalls or anything like that. So either on your Mac or PC outside your network or on your iOS devices, you can access anything that's on that transporter that you want. You just leave it plugged into your router and it all just works. And additionally, you can share any file you want that's on your transporter with somebody else, whether or not they have a transporter, which is great for large files, let's say, or collaborating with people on certain files. So if you have a transporter and like Adam has a transporter, I can put a file on my transporter and do some stuff with it. And then I can say, hey, Adam, I'm going to share this file with you. And it shows up on his transporter and he can do his changes there and save it. And then those are synced across the two different transporters. So like I said, those are the traditional transporters. They come with the network drive, or they don't, they used to come with a bare unit. So you could get one that was, I believe it was, $200 originally for the empty transporter, and it wouldn't have the laptop drive in it. What they've done recently is introduced a new product called the Transporter Sync. They essentially chopped the top half off of the transporter and allowed you to just plug your own USB hard drive into the back of it, so you don't have to worry about spending the extra dough on a unit that has a hard drive in it if you already have an external hard drive, which is awesome. So the Transporter Sync, they're calling it, is $100, and you can plug any drive you want into it. And they've dropped the price of the transporter to get one that has a drive in it to $200. And then that new unit is a 500 gigabyte unit. And they've also dropped the price of the 1 terabyte to $249. So that's $50 off. And then the 2 terabyte for $349, which is great. Now the Transporter Sync is, really modeled around the idea that people primarily want to, sync things across their devices, or let's say, you want to throw something on your transporter, like your photo library or your music library or movie library, and you want to be able to access it from wherever. So you put all that stuff on there, and you can very easily then on your Mac, PC, all your iOS devices and Android devices, you can then access that stuff right from within the app. And It's pretty cool. So check it out. You can also get 10% off when you get a transporter if you use code WHC, and that's at filetransporterstore.com. And you can find out more information about the transporter at filetransporter.com. We thank them so much for their support of We Have Communicators. So with that, let's talk about the various updates that Apple has pushed out for us in the last week or two. iBooks has been updated with a fancy new icon, and it doesn't have book pages anymore, although it has the page turn effect still, which is nice, because I do like that page turn effect.
You know what was weird?
What's that?
So they updated that. I'm going to check it right now. Maybe it changed already. After I did that upgrade, when I would go in and do a spotlight search for iBooks, oh, I'm getting the new icon now. For a while, I was still like getting the old icon.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Had to index or something, probably.
Probably. It's weird.
Yeah, so.
I bet that's it.
I think they look nicer. In addition to iBooks, there's also iTunes U. That's been updated. Much flatter. No more skeuomorphism. And, of course, I believe it was this week that they updated Find My Friends. And that was the most egregious example of the skeuomorphism that everybody referenced with all the leather everywhere. They've updated Find My Friends. It no longer has leather or stitching or anything. It's just circular icons and flat interfaces. And it looks pretty nice.
I'm still trying to decide whether or not I like how iBooks looks.
Yeah, what don't you like? Or what are you confused maybe about, not unsure of?
Well, it felt like I was just looking at a web page.
Really?
Or just a very bland text document. It didn't feel like I was looking at a book anymore. And the first thing I had to do, because the white background with the black text, that gets harsh on your eyes after a while. So I had to switch it to the sepia colors.
The white background?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, what I've found hardest on my eyes is the black background with the white text. I cannot handle
reading.
Oh, that's
horrible. No one should ever do white text on a black background. Ever.
Yeah, I don't know why they call it the night mode. They should call it the you're not going to read tonight mode.
Maybe that's why, because you should sleep at night. And so give you something called night mode, which hurts to look at, so you won't read.
Yeah, I usually do put it into sepia mode at night because it gives you, I guess it cuts down a little bit on the blue hue, right?
That's just how I have iBooks set all the time.
Okay.
Because the bright white background all the time is just too harsh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for me, there's actually two things that I want to talk about. One is iBooks, and it's the shelf sucks. I hate the new shelf.
I agree.
Yeah, it is weird. It's just kind of like a weird gradient-y thing.
And then the second thing is who the heck uses Find My Friends?
I have a couple people. I use it to figure out if my girlfriend has died, usually. So far, that hasn't happened.
That's lucky.
That's a good thing.
Or at least, I guess it's not an indicator of her death. It's more an indicator of... if she's like at school, and that's why she won't answer her phone. I think that's the only real reason.
Oh, I get it. You use Find My Friends as a validation thing. Is my girlfriend mad at me? Oh, she's at school. No. Okay. It's good.
Yeah. That's
until
it.
That. Wait, where? That's my friend's house.
I shouldn't laugh.
I don't even know what you said.
Oh, what he said was, wait a second, she's at my friend's house.
Oh.
She's supposed to be at school.
Yeah.
What? Son of a...
Is that what she calls school?
Well, she's probably learning something.
No, seriously. I mean, I have people in there. As a matter of fact, Michael, you're in my Find My Friends.
Yeah, because I opened it up and at some point like this year to fool around with it, and yeah, I added you and like one friend who lives in Florida, and pretty much nobody else is gonna. They're like, hell no, I'm not letting you figure out where I am.
Well, and I have mine set to hide my location. Like that's its permanent state.
Yeah, me too.
So,
and anyway. I've never been able to use it because neither of my accounts were new enough to be compatible. They've probably fixed that by now, but
probably. But you know, the crazy thing is, I've gotten a lot of feedback from people in various ways saying that they use Find My Friends all the time. So I think it is very popular with certain people. It's just not something that we really need.
You know, the place where Find My Friends would be really useful is the place where Gypsy is far superior. I use Gypsy a lot, and it's great because then I can tell people I'm on my way, and now you can see exactly where I am.
Now, what is that? I don't know about that.
Oh, I'll make that my pick this week then.
Okay,
cool.
So I will tell you more about it when we get to our picks.
Okay, so that's a tease for us then.
There you go.
What else was something else updated? I guess there was iBooks, iTunes U, Find My Friends. Oh, yeah,
Apple TV was updated significantly.
Oh yeah, right. There was. Yep, they added a Yahoo Screen app. Which
and
is a thing
cool.
That is it cool?
I don't know. I'm just saying that it's cool that they added that. I mean, anytime they add new content is cool, but it's the other thing that's the coolest part of the update.
Yeah, they added PBS.
Yeah, that rocks. They should have had that really a long rocks. Time ago.
The setup is a bit of a pain because you have to
PBS?
Have a PBS account.
Huh.
Or Facebook
well, I have
or
one
Google
of those.
Plus.
Yeah. So if you already have a PBS account, it's not as big of a deal. But what you do is you go to the PBS app on your Apple TV, and then there's like an icon for login or something, and it gives you a code on your screen, and then you have to go to another device and go to the URL that they've listed on your TV screen. And it's a PBS URL. And then you have to either log into your account or create your account. And then the code works and it's done. But it takes several steps to get through all that. And for some people, it might be a little intimidating.
Yeah. And then for 2 weeks every year, two different weeks every year, every time you launch the app, it will prompt you for a donation. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm joking.
Waka
I know,
waka.
But still, now that you said it, I'm afraid it's really going to happen.
It's pledge drive week. I love PBS. I actually support PBS. I do pledge. So
good.
I'm only making fun of them out of love.
You're paying NDT's salary every year.
Someone has to.
Yes, someone. I think he probably gets money elsewhere too, right?
I think it's just Adam's donation. That's all he gets.
And whenever he's on Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, he probably gets paid for that too.
Yeah. Okay, so in addition to all that stuff, the Apple released an App Store app for the iPad, which I hate.
So I lost my Fitbit last night. This is a very sad day for me. I lost my Fitbit.
Oh,
I've misplaced mine. I think it's still in my house, but I just don't know where it is.
I think mine ended up in a parking lot last night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I have to get a new Fitbit. So I thought, well, even though I will save a couple dollars by ordering off Amazon, I'd rather have something right away. So I'll just hop onto the app on my iPad, the Apple Store app, and see if they carry them in the store. So I do a search for Fitbit, and it comes up with nothing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I go to my iPhone. and I search for Fitbit, and it brings up all the Fitbit products. So then I just held my phone out and I said, Siri, call the Boulder Apple Store for me, please. And she did. And I said, do you have these in stock? And they said, yes. So I'll go over later and get one. But the point is that that this instance and every other instance that I've played with the iPad Apple Store app since it came out, it's been a complete fail.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, good for Apple.
Yeah. And the interface is weird. Trying to get the menu bar back at the top or trying to go back out of whatever it is that you're looking at. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, you know, Apple kind of pioneered this new gesture in iOS 7 where you can swipe from the left over to the right.
Yeah, and what that does is it brings up the column that shows information about the product you're looking at.
Or it swipes through photos.
Or it swipes through the images, and you still don't get back to where you want it to be.
But there is this gesture where if you kind of do it just right, you can pinch it closed. But if you're on like something that like scrolls, the gesture totally doesn't work. So
far, the gesture I found to be most effective for me is the one where I don't touch the screen and I stickle one finger out.
Yeah. It's
sorry,
seriously,
I saw that joke coming.
Seriously, the most
premature laughed.
Seriously, one of the most frustrating apps I've used in a long time.
I will agree. Maybe Samsung wrote it for them.
Is Gil Emilio back at Apple?
Yeah, it's like Gil Emilio all over again.
Check the LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And there's no education store in here either.
You don't need no learning.
Well, I just need my discounts.
All right. Maybe they figure if you can afford an iPad, you're not in school and
how are you supposed to find stuff on this thing? I have not downloaded this yet. How do you browse?
What you do is you download the app to your iPad, but then just pick up your phone and do it all from there instead.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Or you just go to the Apple Store website. Because that works a lot better.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of stupid for having deleted the iPhone version of the app off of my iPad.
I click on, you know, find a Mac, and all I can find is the MacBook Air, because that's the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, you're not doing it right. You're not holding it right.
Oh, there it is up at the top.
Yeah, you have to do the weird tap thing at the top. And then you can see the other models, and it's a horrible interface.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting it now.
It's a horrible interface.
I think most people would spend about 30 seconds with this and then throw their iPad through the window.
That's about what I did.
Maybe that's the plan, though, because then they need a new iPad.
Oh, that's a really good point.
And they'll have to use their iPhone at that point to buy one because they've just destroyed their iPad, and that works.
Yeah.
I might see the genius in this right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Enough on that.
You might be onto something.
Don't install it, people.
Yeah, just don't.
Yep. Okay, so... Ooh, Jeff, are you getting that new stylus, that 53 stylus?
Yes, the Pencil by 53.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Although the tip doesn't look fine enough to do fine lines and whatnot.
It is. And you have to keep in mind that there's a minimum surface space that you can have on a stylus tip for it to work.
Oh, okay. So is that why you have the styluses that like the one that has the little joint, the little ball joint at the end?
Yeah.
Well, wait, so how does the Evernote script work?
How does the what work?
Do you have the Evernote script? their script stylus, the little ballpointy looking one?
No, I haven't heard of that.
I do not. I need to get that.
Because it has a teeny tiny point.
Yeah, it does.
I can't remember how big it is. But I think they use software to help deal with that.
And okay, so some of the styluses they use alternate software to do what they need to do. Well, like the pressure sensitive styluses, there's special software that goes along with them, and the art apps have put that in.
Right.
So they could do something similar.
They call it pixel point technology. Yeah. It's done by Adonit, and it uses Bluetooth 4.0, but it's 1.9 millimeters. Tip on that stylus.
Right. And the smallest you can normally go is 4.
Yeah, I think that's right. But I thought that was an iOS limit.
It's a hardware limit. It's the resolution of the sensitive sensor grid.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry.
You were testing me to see if I really knew that. I see what you were doing.
Yeah, so how does that pixel point work?
That's a really good question.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm excited about the paper one too. It looks really nice.
It does. The one part that I'm concerned about is the fact that the shape is like an architect pencil.
Right.
So it's like a flat slab. And every time I've used those, it hasn't been for creating art. It's because you need to draw a line along a ruler so you can cut something. And you may not even hold it like a regular pencil. You may have it sticking out of your hand like a paintbrush. So we'll see how comfortable it is. But the features that it has, it looks really neat, especially because you get new features in paper when you use the pencil. Like you can start smudging colors together, and the blunt end to the top end of the pencil stylus is the eraser tool. So you don't have to switch to the eraser tool.
That is super cool. I like that.
Yeah. It looks really nice, and it looks like it has potential to be a really cool stylus.
I want to order one of the notebooks too.
I want to see one of the notebooks, the printed notebooks.
Yeah, the Moleskine notebooks.
They just look really neat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, with that, let's talk about our picks. And since Jeff teased his pick, we'll let him go first.
All right. And here's where I become slightly lame, because I was calling it Gypsy and I have no idea why. It's called Glimpse. So everyone that's been sitting there frantically trying to find this app I'm talking about all the way up to this point, sorry. It's called Glimpse. So what Glimpse is an application that tracks your current location in real time and then sends that information to whoever you choose to share it with. And you can choose to send the information as a text or I think an email. And then the other person can watch in a web browser, or they can get the native application for their iPhone and follow along from there. And what you would use as the person sharing your location is the native app on your iPhone. And you can set how long your location is shared, which is really nice. Like if you know that it's going to take you about an hour and 45 minutes to get somewhere, share your location for 2 hours. And then when it's done, it's done. So it's not like people can track where you are after that window that you give to them. And you don't need to have other people signing up for the service. You just like send a text message to someone from your address book right from within the app, and then they can follow along regardless of whether or not they have the app.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it's really cool for telling people when you're on the way, because they can see exactly where you are. And I typically use it just as an open-ended thing where I'll share my location for a couple hours. But you can also put in a destination. And then it will show the people that are following you for that trip when to expect you to arrive.
Yeah, because have you used Twist?
No.
It's similar to that, but I think with Twist you have to use the app in order to view the progress of someone's trip.
Yeah, and that sucks, because what if I want to send this to someone that's sitting at their desk? Maybe they're running a Windows PC and they don't have an iPhone sitting around. I can still share with them because it works in a regular web browser, just like it should.
Neat.
Yes.
And it's free.
And it is free.
Yep. I should try that.
Yes, you should.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try it then. So it's spelled GLYMPSE.
Yes. The app is free.
Also
the service is free.
Also known as Gypsy.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I know why he did that. I know why you did that, though. Yeah, because it's spelled with a Y.
Dyslexia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently I had a momentary lapse into dyslexia.
Yeah, it's a fun place to be. So yeah, Adam, what's your pick?
Yes, I'm going to pick a fun trivia game called Quiz Up.
Oh, okay, because that was going to be my pick, but that's cool.
Are you on there?
Yeah, I am.
I can do a different one. I can pick the ninja.
Okay, pick the ninja.
Because I'd been playing that because I'd been waiting for it.
All right, pick the ninja.
All right, and then you got to challenge me in Quiz Up.
Yeah, okay, that works.
All right, so I will pick Clumsy Ninja. Because the cool thing about this, I was excited about this app coming out because it supposedly has like this really advanced artificial intelligence built into it.
Yeah.
So basically, you get a little ninja, and he's kind of clumsy, and you have to take him and put him through different training exercises to kind of set up his abilities and make him unclumsy and all these sorts of things. But I guess depending upon how you play with the clumsy ninja or how you train the clumsy ninja, he will react differently. Your clumsy ninja will not be the same as my clumsy ninja, supposedly, with how this AI works. So... it's a free app, although there is the whole in-app purchase thing, but I've been able to progress pretty well so far with just the free version. I haven't spent any money on it. And you basically earn coins, and you can earn gems and sort of things for different training levels and stuff. And it looks like you're kind of in this one environment, but it looks like as you level up, you'll gain additional environments where you can kind of take them into. But you basically, you drag him around, you put him on trampolines, you put him through, there's a punching bag that you can get. You can get balloons and tie balloons to him and watch him float off in different ways. So basically, you abuse this guy, and somehow he sort of learns from all this abuse to become a better ninja. So... I've been playing around with it a little bit, and it's fun. I mean, it's one of those things. I'm more interested to see sort of how the AI progresses and what sorts of things change. But one I noticed almost immediately is like one of the training devices that you give him is a trampoline. And when you first sort of present the trampoline to him, he's a little bit leery about it, and he kind of tests it out a little bit, and he kind of fumbles and has a hard time getting on it and stumbles getting on it. But the more that he trains on it, he sort of becomes more comfortable with it. And now, like, my ninja is just, like, jumping right up on the trampoline and, like, hey, let's go. Let's train.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. And fun.
Yeah. I'm launching it now.
It's got a lot of physics to it, so that's kind of fun, too. Just kind of see, you know. So I don't know if like I'd be curious because I've been kind of being kind to my ninja. I'm assuming you could abuse him a lot. I wonder if he'd become a little more like reserved or like how his personality would develop if you were abusive to your ninja.
Yeah. Huh. Cool. All right. Clumsy Ninja is free. And
and it only took, you know, 2 years. for it to come out from the time they showed it off at WWDC.
Yeah, so check it out. So my pick, you'll never be able to guess, it's called Quiz Up.
No way.
Yeah. I found this morning when poking around Appler. It's a free quiz game. And what caught my attention on it, of course, was the fact that they have, I'll say that it's a quiz game, as the name implies. So you challenge either total strangers. So you just say, hey, you pick a topic. I want to challenge somebody, and it finds somebody with which you can play
at random.
Yep. And then you can, you go back and forth. Actually, it's not so much back and forth as it is, here is a question, and you both have the opportunity to guess correctly within 5 seconds or so, 5-10 seconds.
It's 10 seconds, yeah. It counts down 10 seconds.
And, at the end of the round of, what is it, how many, 5 questions?
I'm trying to remember. I think it might be, I don't remember, 6 questions? There's a certain number of questions. The thing is whoever answers quicker scores more points. So the faster that you can respond, you're going to gain more points. And it's cool because when you're playing head-to-head, you've got these little bars on either side, so you can kind of see how you're progressing versus the other person.
Yeah.
So it's designed to be in real time, but you don't have to play it in real time. That's the other cool thing about it. You can, like, your game center challenge your friends and things like that, and it will try and notify them. And if they're online, you can play them in real time. But if not, it'll let you play. And then, like, right now, I just logged into mine, and I've got several games that I've been challenged to because I haven't been on here in a while. As a matter of fact, Michael, you challenged me to space exploration, and I have a feeling you're going to kick my butt. But then I can go in and play, and because it's timed, it knows how fast you answered. So I'm really just at that point playing against your clock. So yeah. I like the fact that it doesn't have, you can play with your friends, but it doesn't have to be in real time. So it makes it sort of this casual game where you can do a, more of a turn based trivia.
Mm-hmm.
The other awesome thing is just the vastness of the categories and subcategories that they have.
Yeah, I haven't really explored the categories of it yet. I've only been exposed to space exploration, tech, web culture, and space.
Yeah, they don't have a tech, they don't have an Apple category in tech yet, I don't think. They're constantly adding a category. But, like, for example, you know, here's how granular it gets. If you go into movies and you go into Star Wars, there's not just Star Wars, but there's also Star Wars original trilogy as 2 separate categories.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have not even gotten into here. That's pretty cool. How long has this been?
They have the logo thing, which I know is popular. A lot of people like, you know, like, so there's also visual questions where you can, you know, identify this logo from this company. Those have been whole separate trivia apps by themselves. About my only complaint is there's some inaccuracies because I think it's kind of built out. I think it's like crowdsourced some of the questions.
Yeah.
So like I've found some wrong answers. And supposedly they have a way for you to report those. I've reported some. I don't know if they've been fixed. The other huge thing in here is the rankings. So you also get ranked in any given category locally, by your state, by the U.S., and by the world. So, like, I got on really quick, and I became the best in the world in the kids and family category. I think I just checked. I'm now ranked 3rd. I've been beaten out. So I have to claw my way back up in the rankings. But I'm still the top and the number one in California, though.
I wonder how good I would be at Star
awesome.
Trek. I might be good at Star Trek. I don't know.
Yeah. The other thing that's a dilemma is they do need to start to expand the number of questions, because if you start competing in a single category, eventually you'll kind of get through all of the questions, and then it's really just a repetitive memorization thing. So it has some issues, but because of the sort of breadth of the categories and stuff like that, you can bounce around and you can try a bunch of different categories, and it's still a lot of fun. And like I said, this has only been out for like maybe two weeks. So I think they're working on sort of expanding out the number of questions and categories and stuff like that. And you can submit your own. I know they have a way for you to go and submit questions into a category.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Maybe that's where some of the wrong answers are coming from.
Yeah, so they need to get a better staff at like sort of vetting stuff and fact-checking stuff, I think. But as long as they keep improving it, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
I like it. Free, I think.
Yeah, it's totally free. And it's very well designed, and yeah, it's awesome. So, yeah, check it out. Quiz Up. It's free. Get it in the App Store and challenge us.
Badly, Michael beat me.
I haven't played it yet. I didn't do it yet.
Yeah, you challenged me to space exploration.
But then I quit out.
Oh. Is that why it said I couldn't connect and said dagnabbit?
Probably, yeah.
Dagnabbit.
So once we're done here, we'll play around.
All right. So,
yep.
I've been playing with Kelly Guillemont on there. She's been kicking my butt in Star Wars and in Disney category.
Of course she is.
I wonder how well I would do at Star Wars. I don't really like Star Wars anymore, but I used to be into it pretty hardcore as a kid, so I might do well.
Well, just remember, Lando shot first.
You can get in there and get into all your old 90s TV shows.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. Okay, so with that, you can find the iPhone picks and show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. Review the show in iTunes. That helps out a lot. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is the email address. 202-642-6667 is the phone number at which you can call us, but we prefer the email.
Unless you're just going to say four random words.
Yeah, you can do that.
Because the auto translation of that, or dictation of that, is awesome.
That's Jeff's favorite thing to do. Advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com, and the sponsor this month is Connected Data with code WHC for 10% off any of the transporter models, including the Sync. And you can find Jeff at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at jgamut on Twitter, and zazzle.com/jgamut.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, Adam, I'm easy to find.
You are. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, maccast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is the member version of the show.
Yep. Go hear me rant all about pages, all the changes.
Sounds good.
Not that you didn't get enough of that here. Actually, I don't really rant so much. Just sort of apologize for Apple and explain why, you know, what the good features of Pages, the new versions of Pages is.
There are some good features. Yeah. It's just frustrating that so many important features aren't there.
Yeah. And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and at GetAppler on Twitter is the Twitter for Appler, which is GetAppler.com.
Hey, can I, and if people have been, like had signed up for Appler and sort of fallen off, Appler is heating back up again.
Yes.
Just FYI.
It's popping.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so I noticed my follower account is jumping up quickly.
Yeah, if you had been frustrated that maybe things were slowing down there a little bit, there's more people getting on there now, so that's going to help the community. So everybody jump back in, and the more people that we have using it, I think the better it gets. So I'm excited to see some new people showing up.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Omni Outliner is a popular app right now, considering it's $30.
It's a really good app.
An awesome app.
Yeah, yeah. I should check it out. Oh, and has it been rewritten for iOS 7?
Oh yeah, a long time ago. It was in the new style, I think, before iOS 7 came out. Almost. At least the icons were.
Yeah, the actual app itself has had an update, but it will be coming soon.
Gotcha. Oh, I see. Yeah, it's Omni Outliner 2. That makes sense. Okay, cool. So yeah, with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?